Shab-e-Miraj, the night of Miraj, which is a very well-known event, incident in the hadith. Allah's beloved Nabi, Imam al-Anbiya, the head of the Prophets sallallahu alayhi wasallam, went on a journey to the heavens, to the skies, and Jibreel alayhi salam hosted the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, took the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam on the journey. This is a very famous event and a famous hadith that we listen about from the scholars, and we have learnt a lot of lessons as an ummah from this journey. And this was a very great journey of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And any of the events that are related to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with regards to the deen and the akhirah, they are very important, very important. And there's a lot of emphasis on this event, and things were shown, scenes were shown to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, punishments of sins, so that we could learn about those sins and so that we could abstain from those sins. And in the same way, Nabi al-Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam experienced and saw the consequences of good deeds, good amal, so that we can get encouragement, so that we see the good deeds, we hear about the good deeds, we read about the good deeds, so we can do amal on those good deeds. And at that time, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was traveling on this journey, then he saw an ajeeb, a unique scene, an incident. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, obviously this cannot be a minor event or a minor experience or scene, because this was linked to the journey, and everything on that journey was magnificent and essential and important for us to understand. So we need to understand this event and this scene. And what did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam see? We need to understand Nabi al-Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what did he see and what was his reaction? The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he was traveling on the journey of Miraj, saw that there's a man, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stopped and looked at that person and saw, and look, imagine how much importance is placed on this event, that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam stopped in his tracks when he saw, and he started to focus on that individual, that man, with surprise. And Jibreel alayhi salam was present and he was silent. He remained silent. And Nabi al-Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, stated that, "Oh Jibreel, that who is this man? Who is this person?" And with such surprise and a query, the tone of a query, that we need to think that how will that person be, or how unique must that person be, or in a unique situation that person must be, that suddenly the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was attracted towards the incident of that person. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Who is this person? Who is this person?" And who was that person? That individual, that person was immersed in the nur, the light of the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now we hear about nur, that person has a face of nur, and nurani angel. But this is a person who is immersed, drowning in the nur, the light of the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not that he looked enlightened, he was drowned, he was immersed. That's how much that person was benefiting from the one. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw that man and said, "Who is this person? Until now in this journey I've not seen such a scene, that such a beautiful scene, and that person's immersed in the nur of the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, arsh ilahi." So you know very well that all the events of Miraj, of this blessed journey, weren't just shown to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for him to experience the scenes. Was he had a very high status, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He must have experienced many other things in his life, and we don't even know of these things. But all of the events of Mi'raj were for the sake of explaining and communicating to the ummah the lessons that were learned. So Jibreel alayhi salam, when he saw that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was questioning, "Who is this person?" He said, "Oh Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam," he replied. And then he stayed silent. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam again asked the question, put forward the query, that is this an angel? Allahu Akbar. Imagine the question, that is this an angel from amongst the special angels that I haven't seen? That I've seen angels and they all have nur and light. But this, is this some special angel, a select angel, a unique angel? Is this? And the question was put forward. And at that time, when Jibreel alayhi salam, he heard the question, and he was the head of the angels, and he said, "O Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this is not an angel." Subhanallah. And then Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was even more surprised that this is not an angel. Then after an angel, that there's one great jamaat, select group of people which are the highest from the creation. Is this some Nabi? Is this a prophet? Asked the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And maybe it, because Allah Ta'ala has given him such a reward and noor, and then Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam said that, "Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is not a prophet of Allah. He is not." And then Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Then who is this person? What is his quality?" And Jibreel alayhi salam replied, "He has three characteristics. This is a man, a human being. And he is from the creation of Allah. He is from your ummah, O Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from your nation of believers. So what are the characteristics of this individual?" And Jibreel alayhi salam replied that his characteristics, his qualities were such that when he was in the dunya, then always he was busy, occupied, and Allah Ta'ala has given him the status due to this. First, make me, will you do these actions that he did? Solid promise, true promise. And such a great status a person attains. Subhanallah, look at this point. That he had one pastime in the dunya that he would do. That Allah Ta'ala gave him such a high status that Imam al-Anbiya stopped and he was surprised to see this person that is immersed in the noor, the light. Imagine, where's our situation? That Jahannam may be waiting for us, hellfire may be waiting for us due to our deeds, our sins, our bad actions. And what other actions people must perform that they won't just get Jannah, paradise, but such an individual like this person was seen in this hadith in the night of Mi'raj, in the Jinn of Mi'raj. Imagine the people who are present in the dunya. So we have two choices. We have the two paths in front of us. We have both conditions. And it's only for a few days, this life journey, when the kitab will be closed, shut. Allah Ta'ala will grab and seize this choice from us, when life will end, when death will come. Within a second, the story will finish. Oh, he went to hospital, he's gone to hospital. Oh, doctors are saying, that's it. We'll try our best, but the time's up. And the announcement we made, oh, they're trying, they're putting injections and they're giving him medicine, consultants coming, they're negotiating, discussing, doing mashwara, what to do, what form of cure, solution to give. These are the doctors, then they give the answer. And after a while we see that the coffin is prepared. And this is our story of life. That's the end of the story, end of life. And on the other side, we have life at this moment in time. Praise be to Allah. We have understanding. We have consciousness. Allah has given us power, strength, understanding, wisdom. We can do whatever we want right now. That actions, if we place them in front of us, the worst and evil of actions, a mu'min, for a mu'min, this is nothing. When he decides, intends, I don't want to do bad, and Allah's help comes, then he can never do an impure action. No action is difficult. No sin. To reject any sin under the sun is not difficult. Remember this point. La yukallifullahu nafsan illa wus'aha. Allah said in the Quran, I have not placed you in any difficulty that you cannot do what I'm instructing you to do or guiding you to do. Allah is the greatest. Allah just wants that His servant, us human beings, make a little bit of niyyah, intention, little bit, minute, small scale maybe. Just come forward. Allah says, come forth and the rest leave to me. We can't do the rest. We cannot do the rest, no doubt. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Allah is the one with all power and strength. But shaytan and nafs are so khabees and wretched, they do not allow us to reach to this maqam. The yaar, I've got this sin inside me, this bad quality inside me. Okay, let me try. I won't do this bad sin. I won't do this bad action. I won't do this impure action. Let me try this, but I'm afraid of even doing this. I cannot even think. Allah Ta'ala says, at least think this for a little while. At least make an intention that Allah, it's not good. It's not good. I'm thinking, okay, from tomorrow I won't do this action. That's it. Suddenly Allah will send the angel that my creation, my servant is coming close to me. He's realized he's doing wrong. I gave him the strength, ability to think. If he wanted to, he could have done bad. If I wanted to, Allah said, I want evil and to think of good. But I kept him there. Allah says, okay, my rahmah is with you. My rahmah will assist you. I will create the means for you, O my servant. I will create such resources for you and means for you and methods for you that I will take you away from the sins. Is it difficult, my friends, when Allah's help is with us? That's it. That's what we need to think positive. And in the same way, good amal, good deeds, Allah's given us the ability, and such a good amal is coming in front of us. The whole hadith has been narrated and we have become aroused with excitement about this great deed that would be the qualities that are going to be told to us. And Jibreel alayhi salam said, oh, Nabi of Allah, this person will be in your ummah. We'll be ummah. So our passion is being aroused. Our desire to practice is being aroused. So is it difficult for us? Jibreel is saying that this person is in your ummah with these qualities, but we don't know these amal. It's not difficult. They're not hard. Is it hard? Harder than the 30 fasts that we kept in Ramadan? Why did we keep the fast? So that Jahannam can go, hellfire can go, and Jannah come. Did we not pray all night long? Did we not recite all night long, all day long? Did we not stay hungry? For which reason? For what reason? So that Allah can become pleased, so that we can be safe from Jahannam, and so the Jannah can come. What other reason was there that we're doing all this? No one fasted, or I'll become Bayazid Bastami, or Junaid al-Baghdadi, rahmatullah, or I'll become a great sheikh and float in the air, or Junaid al-Baghdadi. Did you want this? Was this your intention? Just we had an intention, we want Jannah, and to be safe from hellfire. How much did we try? How much effort did we make? So Allah Ta'ala is telling us these amal deeds, alhamdulillah. For this reason we've been told this, that Allah Ta'ala said, I gave you the ability to make effort, that 18 hours, 20 hours, somewhere 23 hours, and somewhere, not just hours, but for example, temperatures further than 100 degrees Fahrenheit, I gave hukam, they did this. Allah Ta'ala said, I gave the hukam, it was hard for you, you couldn't do this, but you had the courage, determination, and I allowed you to fast. Allah says, one individual, he came back from such a hot environment, 44, 46 degrees, and I saw his face, and I said, brother, very difficult must be the fast in that locality. And I spoke to him, and with surprise, I said, it must be hard for you to fast there, so hot and increasing temperatures and difficult terrain. And it must be very hard for you. And he smiled and said back, we didn't even realize it's hard for me to keep fast here. He said, Allah, and I looked at his face. He said, no, it's not difficult. It was very easy. We didn't even realize the time. Came back from work, sat down, and we lie down a little bit, rested. After a few hours, it was time for iftari. Opened the Quran, and we didn't realize that it's time for iftari to break the fast. And I looked towards his face. I said, Subhanallah, Allah's greatness, Allah's shan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's magnificence. Allah ta'ala has instructed us a certain course that if you make niyyah for such a great action of sawm fasting, I make it easy for you. 30 days, I made it easy for you. Allah ta'ala said, I made you strive. I didn't let you sleep or drink or eat. You can't go to your wife. Allah ta'ala said that I didn't even allow you to stay to take full rest, isn't it? So subhanallah. So didn't we do this? Allah says, if I tell you these are amal, such deeds that will take you to this maqam, then why do you struggle then when these are easy deeds? Now Allah said, I made you fast. Ramadan, so who will make us do these actions, these three qualities that this person had? We got this word. Will we do this? True promise? Okay, even now you're saying it lightly. Say subhanallah loudly. Subhanallah. Now we realize. Shall I tell you the amal? The deeds, what shall I tell you? Jibreel alayhi salam himself is telling the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that your ummati, he'll become a person who will deserve the noor of the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, just like here we come, we spoil our faces, we try our best to look beautiful. If we do the amal, the deeds, and the angel will be proud of the human being. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. So what was the amal of that person? What did he do to deserve the noor of the arsh ilahi? Jibreel alayhi salam said that when he was in the world, he carried out some actions. What were those actions? Jibreel alayhi salam said that always he would do the dhikr of Allah. He would remember Allah. Say subhanallah again. Say subhanallah again. Tell me, is that difficult? No. It's not difficult. Look at the words, beautiful. That always this person, what did he do? He would do the dhikr of Allah. The dhikr of Allah. He would remember Allah. Sahih hadith, I'm telling you, sharing with you. So my brothers, always, what does this mean? Alhamdulillah, the definition of always, the Mufassirin, the commentators have said 2-3 points here. Always means that he had steadfastness on his dhikr. He made a regular habit that morning and evening, I'll sit and do a bit of dhikr of Allah. I'll spend some time. My the teacher, wali of Allah, will give me tartib that do dhikr like this. He didn't run left, right, let me do this, tasbih, that, tasbih. Those people who do dhikr themselves leave the path. But if there's someone who's pushing from behind, turning the key from behind, then the start button's always suppressed. That's why you have to keep going to the waliis of Allah, the mashayikh. That they pat you in the back, they push you in the back, you restart with nafs and shaitan, they make you fail. That's why you need somebody to push you from behind. Then he tells you such a dhikr that it stays with you forever. The effect, say subhanallah. The effect, it doesn't break. The effect doesn't break. That's why we go to the waliz of Allah. What other reason do we go? What's the maqsad, the objective? Because this path, because for everything we need an ustad. To learn Quran, you need ustad. To learn ilm, you need ustad. To learn hadith, you need ustad. If you do self-study, you learn yourself. And for hadith, you need an ustad. It can't be that you've learnt Arabic and I'll read hadith myself. Now you need an ustad. You need a teacher who'll teach you. On every footstep in life, you need an ustad, a teacher, isn't it? In the same way, my brothers, such a great ilm, knowledge, and you get Jannah from the amal of dhikr. You need an ustad, a teacher to teach you. What will be his function? He will explain to you dhikr, he'll prescribe it to you, and he'll give you a push start regularly. He'll tell you tartib, the quantity, the frequency. Because when there's a precondition to get something, then shaitan makes it hard for us. He didn't say that he did dhikr ilahi. The definition of this hadith is that he always did dhikr of Allah. So with the word dhikr of Allah is attached the words, always did dhikr of Allah. And the definition of always is that he did dhikr in a certain way, at certain frequencies. That he went to a wali of Allah, a sheikh said, I want to do dhikr. The sheikh said, okay, fine, morning and evening sit down, do these recitations, prayers. Oh, I don't have time, I have to drive my taxi, I have to go to work, I've got an occupation. Okay, no problem. The sheikh says, in this hadith, doesn't say 3 hours, does it? Does it say 4 hours dhikr? No. It says, the do dhikr always according to a frequency, even if it's 5 minutes. So say, Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Look how easy it is, isn't it? It's very easy. Even if it's 5 minutes, and then the wali Allah says, the do dhikr for 5 minutes. Oh, well, if I miss in the morning, no problem. If you do it steadfastly, regularly, then if you miss it in the morning, then do it before dhuhr. But if sometimes it's hard for me to do it before dhuhr, no problem, do it before asr. If you miss it, subhanallah, that's how easy it is. But does that come into then always doing dhikr? Yes, this will be included, says the sheikh. So if you miss it in the morning, do it before dhuhr. If you miss it before dhuhr, do it before asr. And that's included as the definition of always doing dhikr. Okay, Sheikh Saab, you said that do dhikr 100 times this recitation. If I get guess, I can't do 100. I don't have time. What do I do then? No problem. Can you do two in that event? Yes, I can say two times la ilaha illallah. Then that's become always the definition of always doing dhikr. So the reason for this, that Allah Ta'ala is not looking at our quantity, Allah is not looking at numbers, Allah is saying that who is implementing my instructions? So will we do this, my friends? We don't have enough time. Oh, this is difficult for me. I'm not in wudu all the time. It's difficult for me to do wudu on the way. I break my wudu. My wudu is weak. Okay, this is an ibadah, a worship action. Allah Ta'ala said that you can do dhikr without wudu if you don't have wudu. Subhanallah, if you don't have wudu. So how easy it is. Will we do this? That's it. So for this, we need to learn from the dhikr of Allah, the teacher. And that's the definition of always doing dhikr. And always staying in the dhikr of Allah. This is not difficult. This is easy. I'm telling you, it's very easy. That a person who stays in the dhikr of Allah always, if you do dhikr of Allah morning and evening with tartib, yes, then this covers the always being in the state of doing dhikr. You don't need to control, use your hands or tasbih or your eyes or arms. But naturally Allah Ta'ala has prepared in our bodies, there's an organ. Allah has given us a fleece of flesh, and that is the heart. And the heart is like a motor, and it's functioning, it's moving, it's rotating, it's beating. So what do we need to do? Just go to the wali Allah, the sheikh, and make your heart alive with the name of Allah, with the permission of the sheikh, the teacher. When he makes your heart alive and teaches it to say Allah, Allah, then you, Allah says, أَلَّذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ قِيَامًا وَقُؤُودًا وَعَلَى جُنُوبِهِمْ. That's it. Then you don't need to think about it. Your motor of the heart has started. The wali Allah has kick-started into motion. Always your heart will say Allah, 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 Allah. Say Subhanallah. So that's it. So do these actions. What a beautiful method. Alhamdulillah. Praise be to Allah. And those who are doing this, then do you think that this is minor, the dhikr of Allah, my friends? What a great na'am Allah has given to you. Those individuals who have jumped with the fadl of Allah, who are steadfast in dhikr. And there are some individuals, mashallah, who are aware, they're awake, they come in the morning, evening. Alongside this, the heart is on the dhikr is on their heart. So they should appreciate this, be regular. This is great, great name of Allah, and be grateful to Allah. Look at the status Allah will give in the hereafter. And if in your heart comes a thought, okay, I do dhikr, but I do sins in parallel. The thought comes, that how will I go to such a high maqam, I make mistakes, I do sins. But I do dhikr, but I do sins at the same time. Subhanallah. If you have these thoughts, if Allah Ta'ala says, then this will come. What's the reason? Is that the dhakir, who does the dhikr of Allah, great news is coming, great news is coming. Listen carefully. The dhakir who does the dhikr of Allah, who has grabbed hold of the dhikr, the remembrance of Allah, and he has embarked on this journey of dhikr, then alhamdulillah, he has a quality that most definitely Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, due to the blessings of his dhikr, Allah will annihilate his sins. Allah will eliminate his sins. And the sins that he does, as soon as he does dhikr, his sins are removed. Wiped away, sins are removed. Does dhikr purify? Does dhikr purify? Does dhikr purify? Allah Ta'ala is prepared for that person. And after that, then what's on the other side? That the dhikr that's being done and the sins are being wiped away, purified. Just like when you wash your hands, the dirt is going into the sink, down the drain. In the same way, when you do dhikr, the sins that are being purified, then the angels have been delegated. They don't let the sins go down the drain. They gather those sins that are being purified. But we'll say that's impure. But Allah says, no, it's not impure. This individual has done dhikr, he's washed away sins. And don't worry, he's not impure. Allah says, I have transferred and translated his sins into good deeds. They've become pure. Say subhanallah, subhanallah. Look at the maqam, the status of the kafir. Those dirty, impure sins. Just for example, you go to the toilet and you're washing the impurity with water. Will you grab all of that water? Will you collect it? Gather it? No, but look at Allah's rahmah. You've done dhikr. With the barakah of dhikr, the sins have been washed. Allah says, don't waste away those sins that are being purified and washed away. Allah says, don't wash them. He's done my dhikr. Then gather those sins together and transfer them, translate them into good deeds. This is hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So my brothers, love dhikr, attach yourself to dhikr. Dhikr is a great action. Why? Why do I give you dawah invitation to dhikr? I call you to dhikr. The reason for this is not that don't do anything else. Recite Quran, pray nafl salah, go tabligh, spend time in the path of Allah, do ta'aleem, educate people, do everything. Do everything. But I'm giving you invitation for dhikr. I'm explaining the importance of dhikr. But in parallel with all your occupations and pastimes, but don't leave dhikr. Make sure it's there in parallel as a boost. Don't leave dhikr. To bring dhikr into your lives, and alhamdulillah, carry on the rest of your functions, and noor ala noor will come to your life. Will you do this, brothers? Inshallah. May Allah Ta'ala give me the tawfiq also. Ameen. Recite Durood Sharif.